Captain James Cook, written by Rob Mundell, and read by Paul English. Aboard His Majesty's barque, Endeavour, the ship's bell, which was mounted in its belfry on the foredeck above the anchor windlass, had just tolled twice. It was the signal for the near 100 men on board that it was 5 o'clock in the morning, the completion of the first hour of the morning watch. For the previous 4 months, Endeavour and her crew had travelled more than 1,700 nautical miles along a coastline to the north of a headland that had appeared off the ship's bow on the 19th of April, 1770. In history, that date is recognised as the day the great seafarer James Cook first sighted the east coast of New Holland. In doing so, he contributed significantly to solving a maritime mystery that had been debated for centuries. At this very moment, though, things had gone awry. It was looking increasingly likely that the ship and everyone on board would be lost, probably without trace. Endeavour, now situated beside New Holland's reef-strewn northern coastline, was becalmed and drifting towards annihilation. Windless as it was in the early hours, it was not a flat calm. The ship was slowly heaving from side to side in response to powerful ocean swells that were rolling in from the southeast like liquid mountain ranges in perpetual motion, the remnants of a mid-ocean storm that had its core somewhere out in the Pacific. The crests of these monsters were only seconds apart, and as each one loomed and surged against Endeavour's hull, it would pitch her massive bulk towards the heavens and roll her to starboard, then to port in a slow, pendulum-like motion. And with every lurch came an ugly discord of sound from aloft as the heavy canvas sails slattered inside out and the solid timber yards from which they were set groaned in protest. There was another haunting noise, however, like rolling thunder, that was originating from a source away from the ship. And it was causing escalating concern for all on board. The men knew what it was, so well that everyone from the captain to the lowliest able seaman and servant boy was constantly peering through the darkness and watching in dread at the dim scene that was slowly becoming defined off Endeavour's starboard side. As their ship drifted closer to it, they saw wave after monstrous wave being compressed into a horribly powerful peak before exploding and collapsing with a booming roar into a seething mass of ghostly white water, thousands of tons of it, onto the coral reef that had so abruptly impeded its progress. The wall of water would then cascade across the reef like an unstoppable tsunami. The motion that came from each wave as it approached the reef, and the sweep of a current being generated by a tide that was on the flood, was combining to move Endeavour at an alarming rate towards the boiling white water. And there was nothing that could be done to prevent it. Sea, or Oceanus Germanicus, a location that led to many a well-travelled sailor patronising Sanderson's waterfront premises. Inevitably, during these visits, Cook's fertile mind would be filled to overflowing, regaled and liberally nourished by colourful stories of adventure on the high seas and the excitement that came through visiting ports near and far. The impact of such stories was so profound on Cook that after only a few months in Staithes, his thoughts about the future were soon turning away from being a merchant and towards adventure at sea. Seafaring was, for him, far more appealing than the world of commerce, where he would be doing little more than selling uninspiring essentials of everyday life. Legend has it that the tipping point came when a well-weathered sailor strolled into the store and used a 1 shilling piece minted to Britain's South American trading organisation, the South Sea Company, to pay for his purchase. Young James is said to have looked at the coin as if it were an omen guiding him to his future, as though it held magical powers, conjuring up 1,000 stories of distant lands. Within 18 months of arriving in Staithes, Cook had, with the full support of his employer, decided to move on from working the shop floor to walking the deck. So the tall young Yorkshireman packed his bags, bade Mr. Sanderson farewell, and travelled 10 miles south to another seaport, Whitby, on the River Esk.